Morning.
Today's daf in Zvachim is Ayin Vav. We are on the Mishnah Ayin Hamad Beis. We are continuing, with the topic of this parak. This parak is talking about tarovus, mixtures. What happens when the karbanos get mixed up one with another? The Mishnah, the parak started back on Ayin Amad Beis, and it led to most fundamental discussions regarding tarovus bittul, when bittul is blocked by the chachamim, why bittul is blocked by the chachamim at certain times. And so this Mishnah now is a continuation of the previous discussions, but this Mishnah brings in one other consideration, one other element, which really will be the topic of the entirety of today's discussion of the Gemara Ashim Shenisarv Bishlamim. The Mishnah starts off where you have a carbon Ashim that gets mixed up with carbon Shlamim. So in terms of physical aspects of the animal, so we're good in terms of they're both male, which, by the way, makes perfect sense because they get mixed up one with another. One were male and the other one were female. So then we would easily be able to distinguish. But they're both male. And they're both nikra v'algabe mizbeach with more or less the same procedure. So procedurally, they're the same. So over here, so Rabbi Shimon has really a creative way of resolving the problem. So I have a carbon ashram and a shlamim. They get mixed up one with another. Rabbi Shimon Amr shtem yishchutu b'tzafon. So here's what you do. You'll take both carbonos, you'll shech them in the north. Ashram has a requirement to be shecht in the north. Shlamim, of course, does not, but so what? Meaning it doesn't have to be shecht in the north, but certainly you're allowed to shecht in the north. V'yochlu kechama shebehem. And in terms of eating the karbanos, so now you're going to eat them with the stringencies of a karban ashram, which just simply means that it's only going to be eaten by the kohanim, by the male kohanim in the azara. But in other words, but they're going to be consumed. They're both going to be consumed. Amrullah. So they said to Rabbi Shimon, meaning the Chachamim now say to Rabbi Shimon, look, it's really creative, it's really good, but of course what your solution presents, however, is a significant problem, and that is early termination. Meaning, of these carbonates that got mixed one with another, you had a carbon shlamim, you had a two-day allowance to eat it. And that's time. Also, there's a space consideration as well, meaning you're allowed to eat it within the entirety of Yerushalayim, Chumos Yerushalayim. But still, in other words, you have... You had 2 days to eat it. Now, by going with this solution of yours, of treating both carbonos like a carbon asham, so what you're doing now is that for the shlamim, you're creating early termination. So, amr lo, ein mevim kashim lebeis apsol. And the chachamim said, as a rule, we don't like this. We don't like where kashim is brought to beis apsol, literally the house of disqualification. It's an expression of the Mishnah. It simply means that you're creating early termination. Creation of early termination is that since we're going to be treating them both like a carbon ashram, and ashram only can be eaten during the day and it's night, so that means by the end of the night, we're going to be treating everything like nosar, and tomorrow morning, we're going to be burning, and we're going to be burning what is now carbon shlamim. What's the preferred solution? We go back to what we learned in the beginning of the parak. We're going to let them both graze, develop a blemish, redeem them, and then use the monies as earmarked. The shlamim money is going to go towards the shlamim, the asham money is going to go towards an asham. That's the solution. That's the preferred solution according to the chachamim, not the Rabbi Shimon solution, as what it creates is early termination. Now let's say you have pieces of carbon getting mixed together. So kachim, kachim, bekachim, kalim. Let's say you have meats that came from a carbon kachim, kachim, getting mixed together with meats of kachim, kalim. So over here, we're going to have agreement. So here, or for that matter, the Mishnah is just giving other examples, but it's going to be the same point. Karbanos where it's consumed for 1 day, mixed together with karbanos that are consumed for 2 days. Remember, even in the shlamim department, there are karbanos that are only eaten for 1 day. A toda, for example, is only eaten for 1 day. So if I have the meat of a carbon toda getting mixed in with meats of other carbon shlamim, so then in both those cases, yochlu kachamar shabahem. So here we're going to have agreement. Here, what we're going to do is that we're going to eat it only for the duration of today and tonight, and tomorrow morning, everything is going to be nosar. Now, why did the Chachamim agree in this scenario? So Rashi points out over here, it's very simple. Ein brera, because over here you simply have no choice. Previously, while the animals were alive and they got mixed together, so you do have a separate solution, and that is, let them graze, develop a blemish, and then redeem each animal, and then use the redemption money of each animal earmarked for the carbon that it was designed for. Over here, however, where the meats already got mixed up together, there simply is no other solution. So here the Chachamim, of course, going to agree to Rabbi Shimon. Here's where we're going to say, we're going to treat all the meats like Chamer Shebehem, like the more strict of the two. And so that will be the only solution. Tani Tana Kame de Rav. The following braisa was taught in front of Rav. Shvi'ez en lochem b'dameh ha'truma. Mimnei shemamatim b'achilasa. So let's go over some of the most basic rules that that we need to appreciate in order to appreciate the Gemara. So when we talk about Shemitah, we're talking about Per Shemitah. Per Shemitah is all the fruits that are gathered during the Shemitah year. You're not allowed to work the land, but of course, any fruits that grow organically, naturally over the course of the Shemitah year is not only edible, but it's a mitzvah to eat it. In other words, it's Per Shvius, it's a Kedusha Shvius, and you have a mitzvah to eat it. In fact, it's restricted, meaning the only thing you could do is you can eat it. You can't do anything else with the Per Shvius. You can't sell them. You can't make commercial activity out of them. You can barter them, by the way. In other words, you can't make commercial activity out of them. You can barter them for other foods, but you can't destroy them. You can't make commercial activity out of them. That's Per Shvius. We also know, this is an important detail when it comes to Per Shvius, we also know that when it comes to Per Shvius, there's also a deadline by all Per Shvius. By Per Shvius, as long as the produce is still out in the field for the animals, so then you and I are allowed to eat the Per Shvius. But once it is no longer available for the animals out in the field, so you and I must do what's called beer Per Shvius. We have to destroy Per Shvius. What exactly destruction means when it comes to Per Shvius? Machlokas Rishonim, we've gone over this a number of times. Machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, exactly what is to be done at the point of beer. Rashi over here, without getting into the Rambam and the Ravid, Rashi over here says simply, Shetiva'er min ha'olam. Rashi is the second to last line of the Amud. Shetiva'er min ha'olam has to be destroyed. So Per Shvius is edible, but with restrictions and with a deadline. What the Braisa says is as follows. Per Shvius ain lochim b'dameha. Now you can't take its value. Now we know that with Per Shvius, if you barter with Per Shvius, so whatever you exchange for the Per Shvius is going to have Kedusha's Per Shvius. So what you can't do is you can't swap it out for Truma. Why not? Mimnei shemem atem ba'achilasa. Because, interestingly, what it's going to do is it's going to limit Truma. It's going to cap Truma. Truma, of course, can only be eaten by Kohanim. That's a given. But in terms of Truma, is there any deadline in terms of when Truma must be consumed by? No. Rashi writes actually very clearly over here, Truma can be eaten indefinitely. Rashi, again, back to that last Rashi on the Amud. Mimnesha mamai bezman achilas ha-truma u'mevi'a l'idei isra achilas ha-tzricha t'shitzbar min olam kodem sh'techala l'chai sh'abasad v'truma zu mitzvu shar sh'nei ha-shavu ha-isa v'zman achilasa l'olam. I was looking for that line. Right? Rashi writes that when it comes to truma, truma can be eaten indefinitely. So once you're swapping truma out for Per Shvius, so that means now that the truma is going to have the status of Shemitah, which of course now means that the truma itself is going to experience early termination. And so what the Bryce is telling me is that if I exchange Per Shvius for Truma, creating thereby early termination within the Truma, that's no good. And the Bryce says you can't do that. Okay, so that's a Bryce. It's very good. Meaning, basically, what's the Bryce teaching us? The same point that we learned in the Mishnah. I cannot create a situation that will create early termination. That's what we learned in the Mishnah, and that's effectively what we learned in the Braisa, just simply with another example. So the Gemara's comment on that is that the Rav's response to that is, seemingly Rav, Amru Rabbanan Kamei de Rava, Hadolak Rabbi Shimon. So it's either Rav or Rabba, but in any event, you know who doesn't agree with this Braisa? Rabbi Shimon doesn't agree with the Braisa. Meaning, go back to the Mishnah. Meaning the Rabbi Shimon was very comfortable with this idea of treating the two like the stricter of the two, and even though that's going to create early termination, but okay, so be it. So in other words, this braisa that says that you're not allowed to exchange truma for shvius, because what you're going to do is you're going to create early termination for shvius, you're going to create early termination for truma, so this braisa is not going like Rabbi Shimon, seemingly. The Ik, Rabbi Shimon Amar Mevi, and Kashlan Beis Apsul, Rabbi Shimon is comfortable with any solution that creates early termination. So Amar Luhu Afilotem Rabbi Shimon. To which his response was, don't say that. You don't have to say that. This Braisa, which we just quoted, an anonymous Braisa, it could be going like Rabbi Shimon. Because consider, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon does allow for early termination. But that's because you had a Tarovis and it requires a solution. So in other words, under those circumstances, b'di'evid, now that we're here and we have a Tarovis under these circumstances, fine. So I'll tell you that we're going to treat them both like a carbon asham, and even though that will create early termination of the shlamim, okay, but right now we're in a situation. But even Rabbi Shimon does not espouse his viewpoint that you can create early termination lichatchila. you don't have to buy the truma together with Peir Shvi'is. You don't have to barter Peir Shvi'is for truma. You didn't have to give the truma the status of Peir Shvi'is. And so therefore, lechatchila, he wouldn't take his position. And the Gemara now is suggesting that maybe Rabbi Shimon is in agreement with Abraisa. Ulechatchila, lo, the Gemara says, is that true? To which the Gemara now is going to challenge as to whether or not Rabbi Shimon allows for early termination, even from a standpoint of lechatchila. Esve Abaye, so Abaye challenges now for, based on the following braisa. This is actually a mishnah that we're going to be learning later in the Masechta. The Kulan Rishayim Kohanim Lashanas Ba'achilasan. Kohanim, how can they eat the carbon? Any way they like. Now, as it relates to Karban Pesach, as we know, Karban Pesach can only be eaten roasted. But after that, the meat of any carbon, as vis-a-vis Kohanim are concerned, please help yourself to however you like to prepare it. You like it boiled, boiled, fried, roasted, however you like the meat prepared. Rashi actually, I'm sorry, before I get to the Rashi. V'kulam v'shayim kohanim l'shanas b'achilasam, l'achlam tzuluyim shlukim v'voshalem. They can eat it roasted, cooked. Shlukim is generally overcooked. U'mevoshalem v'lasez l'socham, and they can add whatever spices they want to it. Tavle chulam v'tavle truma divrei Rabbi Yishmal. Now the girsa of this Mishnah is either Rabbi Yishmal or Rabbi Shimon. The better girsa for our discussion is Rabbi Shimon, because obviously the point is this is Rabbi Shimon. But in any event, and you can add it, the Kohanim can add any spices they want to it. They can add spices of chulam. They can even add spices of truma to their carbon. Right? It just tastes better. Put a little garlic on there, put a little salt on there. And even if that is coming from truma, so be it, that's good. This is a mission that we're going to be learning later on. Rashi over here, now cite the Rashi. Rashi over here, second Rashi on the Amud, says, Amakra l'cha nesatita nesatim l'mashcha. Again, going back to Parshas Korach, right? And most of the time when we talk about the what Kohanim are entitled to eat and the rules and regulations and all the guidelines of how Kohanim are to eat carbon, Parshas Korach, right? Because after the dispute, so Aaron obviously stands on top in terms of being now the undisputed Kohen, and then Kadosh Baruch Hu says, and oh, by the way, here's what you won. And the psukim over there outline the 24 matnos kahuna. So anyway, so, lechanas atim, lemashcha. And the Torah over there says, I gave you these karbanos lemashcha. And lemashcha, what does that mean? Rashi goes on to explain, legedula, kederach sham lachim ochlim. You have to eat it with royalty. Meaning, you're not eating the meat. I mean, eating the meat is a mitzvah. Or let me say it better and clearer. Eating the meat of a karban is a mitzvah. The Kohanim are supposed to do that. In fact, there's an element of kapara achieved by the Kohanim eating the meat of a karban. All that's true. But still, that doesn't mean that the Kohanim can't enjoy it. In fact, adraba, the Kohanim are supposed to enjoy it. They're supposed to eat it like royalty. And so, prepare it any way you want. Use whatever spices you want. Okay, good. But what are we seeing with all this? You're taking truma, which again, as we already established, can be eaten indefinitely, and you're putting it on the carbon of spices, which by definition means what? You're creating early termination of the truma. Because obviously now that's part and parcel of the meat that the Kohen's about to eat, that meat, it has an expiration. Right? It being that the Kohanim are eating it, so probably that means that you're eating it today and tonight, and that's it. And even tonight, by the way, chatzos. And that's it. So in other words, you're creating early termination on the spices that are being added, and those spices are truma. Now this Mishnah, again, the better girsa for our purposes is Rabbi Shimon. This Mishnah over here is espousing the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And we're not saying this is a bidyevet, we're saying this obviously is a lechatchila. So this obviously proves the point that Rabbi Shimon endorses early termination even from a lechatchila standpoint. The Gemara deflects. Amar lehanach l'truma tavlin d'rabbanan. The Gemara says, well, yeah, it's true, but what are we talking about? Truma of spices. Truma of spices. That's not a mitzvah min haTorah. That's only a mitzvah min derabbanan. Or a chov min derabbanan. The min haTorah, what needs to be taken off is truma. So once again, we get to review. Machlok is between the Rashi and Tosas versus the Rambam. Rashi and Tosas are both of the opinion that their only fruits that are chayiv and truma min haTorah are grapes, olives, and the grains. And the five grains. And that's it. Not even other fruit are chayiv and truma min haTorah. Midrabanan, all other fruit and all other vegetables are chayv and truma. That's Rashi, that's Tosos. Rambam says no. The distinction between Daraisa and Darabanan is fruit versus vegetables. According to the Rambam, all fruit are chayv and truma min haTorah, and all vegetables are chayv and truma, only midrabanan. Okay? So, but in any event, we're talking about spices. We're all in agreement. Rashi, Rambam, Tosos. We're all in agreement that spices are only chayv and truma midrabanan. So over here, what are you showing me? A Mishnah that says that you can create early termination for Truma. We're talking about Truma of Spices. Truma of Spices is a Din D'Rabbanan. So there, Rabbi Shimon is totally comfortable with creating a Beis HaPsul, early termination of Truma when it's Truma D'Rabbanan. I don't think he would say that if we're Truma D'Araisa. At least that's what the Gemara is proposing. Eisvei, the Gemara challenges. Ein lochin truma bekesef meiser. You cannot buy truma with kesef meiser. You come into Yerushalayim with your meiser sheni money. And now what are you looking to buy? So one of the things that you may be interested in buying is truma. Now, again, I know that sounds strange because Kohanim get their truma as a matana. But once they received it as a matana, they certainly have the right to go around and turn around and sell it. Now, in terms of the sale of truma, so here we have basic economics, supply and demand. They're not going to fetch a lot of money for their truma, meaning they're going to try to sell it to another kohen. The other kohen, you know, if he's a popular one, already he's getting his truma free. So granted, it's not going to fetch a lot. But the Mishnah here tells us that you can't buy truma with your meister sheni money. Why? Because here's what you're going to do now. In other words, now that you're eating it with your meister sheni money, so you're going to be minimizing. You're going to be minimizing its consumption. Now, just to be clear over here, minimizing its consumption, we're not so much talking about time over here as we're talking about space. Meaning, as truma, where can it be eaten? Anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. But now that you're buying it with Maaser Sheni money, and now it has the rules and regulations of Maaser Sheni, where can it be eaten now? Only in Yerushalayim. So the truth of the matter is, this is not like early termination like we've been discussing for most of this morning. This is minimizing in terms of space, but it's the same basic idea. In other words, you're reducing it now, and you can't reduce it. Mm. And Rabbi Shimon mater. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's fine. Rabbi Shimon's totally comfortable. So once again, we have just learned a Mishnah together, and the Mishnah over here tells us that according to Rabbi Shimon, lichatchila, one is allowed to reduce. Now again, I know it's not time over here, I know it's space, but it's the same basic idea. You're allowed to reduce. You can reduce. In other words, it was truma, it can be eaten anywhere. Because it was purchased with Maaser Sheni money, now it can only be eaten in Yerushalayim. So you're reducing where it can be eaten, and Rabbi Shimon is totally comfortable with that idea. So what we proposed earlier at the beginning of the whole sugya was, well, Rabbi Shimon only says a b'di'evet, he doesn't mean it lechatchila. And this Mishnah over here seems to clearly endorse that Rabbi Shimon would allow it even lechatchila. Ishtik lei. To which, what was the response? Silence. Mm-hmm. Meaning it seems to be a really good point. It seems to be an excellent proof. So Rav Yosef says, you know what? You could have cited another Mishnah. Now, we already have the Mishnah that seems to totally support the idea that Rabbi Shimon allows for reduction, even on something d'araisa, even lechatchila. But what the Gemara now is going to try to suggest is that there are other Mishnayos that prove this point as well. And Rav Yosef says, why don't you cite the following? Now remember, Rav Yosef was known for his fantastic bekiyas. He had a tremendous bekiyas on Kol HaTorah. So for him, meaning it was all the Mishnayos were to him an open book. You know, he saw it all so clearly. He's like, hey, there's another Mishnah in Shvius. Why don't you quote from there? Ein mevashen yerek shol shvius b'shem shol truma. Shelo yaviu kashem lebeis apsul v'Rabbi Shimon matir. And the Mishnah in Shvius says as follows. So, vegetables of Shvius, you're not allowed to cook it in truma oil. Because what you're going to then do is you're going to be reducing. You're going to be reducing the the truma oil is going to be capped and limited to the Shvius. And as we already learned this morning, Shvius can only be consumed up to the point of Zman Bir. After Zman Bir, can't be consumed anymore. And I know that which I just said is not super clear, and it is subject to a debate, but for our purposes right now, it's the easiest way to say it. It's the easiest way to explain the Gemara. So in other words, as Shvius, it's subject to termination. As Truma, it was not subject to termination, and so therefore the Chachamim say, don't do it. Don't cook your vegetable, your Shemitah vegetables together with Truma oil. And Rabbi Shimon matir, and Rabbi Shimon says it's fine. So Rabbi Yosef is just simply pointing out, here's another Mishnah that clearly endorses the idea that according to Rabbi Shimon, lechatchila, one is allowed to create a situation of reduction of early termination. Amalei Abayev alav miosvise meha de tavlin. So Abaye says to Rav Yosef, okay, I'm with you, and your Bekiris is excellent. But what did you gain for us? Meaning, didn't we already cite another Mishnah regarding Shemitah? Va'amar lehanach l'chuma tavlin derabanan hachanami chuma yerek derabanan. So the Gemara says, well, just like earlier we talked about how maybe it was the Mishnah where the Kohanim are salting and spicing their meats using truma, and we said, those are just spices of truma, that's only a din derabanan. That's where Rabbi Shimon is more lenient. Can we say the same thing over here? Now, it's more difficult to say it over here because we're not talking, because we're talking about oil. And it's a little bit strange because, in other words, as I'm reading Abaye, it's really hard to understand, like, what was Abaye thinking? Because, as you just pointed out, we're talking about the oil of Truma. Ihachi, and the Gemara makes exactly this point. So, quite frankly, I don't know how Abaye saw the Mishnah. But the Gemara immediately makes the point. Ihachi ibcha mi baile lemisne. Yerek shel Truma b'shemen shel shvius. Well, that's not what the Mishnah says. In fact, if the Mishnah wanted to make that point, the Mishnah should have talked about the vegetable of Truma, which is the Rabbanan, together with shemen shel shvius, together with the oil Shemitah. But that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says the vegetable Shemitah together with the Truma of oil. So clearly we're talking about Truma Daraisa. Okay, so, but we all knew that. V'lam mi usvise mimasnisen demati Rabbi Shimon. So v'amrli de'i arav. So the Gemara says, okay, but you did already cite to me a source from Rabbi Shimon, and we said, well, it happened already. So hachanami de'i arav. So the Gemara says, so can't you say the same thing over here? That it happened already, and this is a case of idiyevin. So idi arav my time derabanan. So the Gemara says, well, wait 1 second. If it got mixed together already, if that's the scenario that you want to paint, that it happened already, that the two got mixed together. So then, remember back to the Mishnah, the Chachamim wouldn't disagree. Meaning, remember the pieces of meat that get mixed one with another. The Chachamim over there says once it's mixed already, and there's no other solution. So of course, the Chachamim will acknowledge, okay, so we'll have early termination. So me did the havi hashem v'shlamim. So me dami hashem isle tekanta b'raya, ha'lai isle tekanta b'raya. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. The Gemara right now is not comparing it to the cases of meats. The Gemara right now is comparing it to the first case of the Mishnah, meaning the shlamim and the hashem that gets mixed together. There, the Chachamim said, don't treat them both like an hashem because you have another solution. Let them graze, develop a blemish, and then redeem each one of them. Over here, if the oil and the vegetable get mixed together, what solution do we have? And the Gemara now correctly points out, if we're talking about where the oil and the vegetable got mixed up already, meaning this is a case of bidyevin, so this would be more comparable to the second half of the Mishnah, where the pieces of meat get mixed up together, or even there the Chachamim are going to acknowledge, yeah, over here we have no other choice. Ein Breira. To which the Gemara points out, the Gemara says, I don't know if that's a really a fair comparison. Meats of various carbonates get mixed up together. There really is nothing we could do at this point in time. I have carbon meats that were a one-day consumption, mixed together with carbon meats of a two-day consumption, and we don't know which meats are what. Literally, there's nothing else to do. So we're going to treat them both like a one-day carbon, and because there simply is no other solution. Ein la leis le'tekanta klal. But over here, hi, it's like takanta beschita. But over here, if I got oil of truma getting mixed in together with a vegetable of Shemitah, can't we squeeze the oil out? To which, and you're probably all thinking this already, to which the Gemara says, not really. Rav Yosef hechin ischot. And Rav Yosef will tell you, no, you can't really squeeze it out. Nischot tuva kamafsi b'shvius. Meaning, if you aggressively squeeze out the vegetable, so you know what you're going to do. You're going to be impairing, you're going to be destroying some of the vegetable. And remember, this is Perish Shvius, and Rashi over here writes very clearly, La'achla v'lo lehefseid. Once you're aggressively squeezing out the oil from the vegetable, from the Yerek Shemitah, so then what you're going to be doing is you're going to be, not intentionally, but still, knowingly, you're going to be destroying some of the vegetable, and it's Perish Shvius, and you can't do that. So Nischa Porta, so the Gemara says, okay, so squeeze gently. Okay, so if I squeeze gently, I'm not going to get all the oil out. So I'urev ma'arev. So you're going to have a mixture over here. So the Gemara says that it is fair to say that if we're talking about bidyeved, where the oil and the vegetable already got mixed up together, so then we can't have a machlokas over here, because then this case would be directly comparable with the second half of the Mishnah. In the second half of the Mishnah, when there is no other solution, of course the Chachamim would then acknowledge, yeah. So then we're going to treat it like the Chamer Shebahem. By virtue of the fact that there is a debate in the Mishnah and Shviyas, where Rabbi Shimon says, go ahead and mix it together, and the Chachamim say, don't do it, clearly we're talking about not Bidi'evid, we're clearly talking about Lechatchila, and once again, case is made, point is made, that according to Rabbi Shimon, you can mix them together, even though it's going to create an early termination, you can mix it together, afilu lechatchila, and even if the trim was a trim of da'araisa. Okay. Point made, but the Gemara is still going to continue discussing this topic. Eitzvei. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Lamachras mevi ashamav lugomo. Okay, we're back to our Mitzorah. Mitzorah got a lot of airtime in the course of this Masechta, as it does in today's daf as well. Mitzorah goes through a purification process. Once this saras is concluded, so he goes through first a 7-day purification process, where on day one it starts with a pair of birds, and then on the 7th day he'll tov on the mikvah, and then on the 8th day he'll be in the Beis HaMikdash and he'll be offering his karbanos. And of the karbanos that he brings, one of the karbanos that he brings is a karban asham. And of the karban asham that he brings, so we know that the blood of the karban asham is going to be applied to his body, as we already discussed earlier. Right, some of the blood is going to be poured directly onto the hand of the Kohen from the neck of the animal. And it's going to then be brought over to the Kohen, to the Mitzorah. And the Mitzorah is going to be inserting his right ear, his right thumb, his right toe into the Azara. And remember, we had a great discussion earlier in the Masechta of Bia B'miksas, meaning he can't go into the Beis HaMikdash yet. But the blood can't come out. So in other words, they meet right in the middle. And right on the border. So he puts his head in, he puts his right thumb in, put his right toe in. And you apply the blood of the Karban Asham to those extremities. On top of that, there's also Log Shemen. There is an amount of oil that also is going to be taken and applied to the same areas on the Mitzorah, and this is part of the purification of the Mitzorah. Let's say we have a person who we are unsure whether or not he is a Mitzorah. Now, how do we get to this point in time? So, I'll spare us all the details. I myself don't know all the details. But for our purposes right now, all we need to say is that he's a Safek Mitzorah Mukhlat, meaning he may definitively be a Mitzorah, he may not be. Okay, so he's in a state of Safek. Now here's the problem. If he doesn't go through the purification process, he'll never be able to re-enter into the Beis HaMikdash, and he'll never be able to eat carbon again. And I'm sure Pesach is not that far down the road. So he needs a purification process. On the other hand, because he's a Safek, these carbonos may not be necessary. And if they're not necessary, so then you're not allowed to bring a carbon that's not necessary. So what do? So we hedge. So the Mishnah over here is describing how what we're going to do is we're going to be hedging regarding this Mitzorah who's a Suffolk Mitzorah. So, Eisvei, the Gemara quotes now a Mishnah. The Mishnah reads as follows. Rabbi Shimon Omer Lamacharas, the next day, meaning on day 8, maybe Asham of Lugo Imo, so he brings his carbon Asham and he brings the Log Shemen, the Omer. And we'll stipulate. So here we're going to hedge. And he says, Im Shom Mitzorah Harei Zashem Avazel Lugo. Look, if he's really a Mitzorah, so then we have the necessary tools in order to purify him. We have the Karban Asham, we have the Log Shemen, we're good. The Im Lav, but what if he's not a Mitzorah, as we turn to the Ayin Vav Amud Beis? What if he's not a Mitzorah? Asham Zesh Shel Shamei Nedava. So the Asham is now going to be Shlamim. Meaning we're going to treat it like a Karban Shlamim. Remember, Asham is male. Shlamim could be either male or female, so that's fine. So then we'll treat the carbon like a shlamim. V'oso asham tam shechita b'tzafon. But again, remember now we have a carbon which either is going to be an asham or a shlamim, depending on whether we need it or not. And so now, because this carbon is either one of the two, so now we're going to have to treat it like both, which means we're going to have to treat it like the stricter of the two. So that means, and here the Mishnah just simply lays out the law. So the oso asham tam shechita b'tzafon to shech the north, because it may be carbon asham matam bahonos, and take the blood of it and apply it to the mitzorah, because it may be an asham. Usmicha, and you do smicha, unesachim, utunufa, chazav, ashok. And you also bring the nesachim, together with the waving of chazav, ashok, which is what is normally done for a karban shlamim. V'ne'echal liyom v'layla. Of course, its consumption can only be for one day and one night. Meaning, consumption-wise, we're going to treat it like a karban asham. And so what do we have over here? We have just learned together a mishnah, where we're going to, because of a suffix, we're going to treat a carbon both like a carbon asham and like a carbon shlamim. And of course, it goes without saying that this is going to be done even lechatchila. And let's assume that this Mishnah is like going like Rabbi Shimon. We don't have to assume. If you look back at the beginning of the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer. It is Rabbi Shimon. So over here, once again, we have found another Mishnah that clearly endorses the idea that one is allowed to create early termination even from a lechatchila standpoint, and not just b'di'evin. To which the Gemara says, I'm not sure if this is a great case study. Tikune gavrashane. The Gemara says, look, over here there is a mitigating circumstance. It's not that we're just by choice and just by option, voluntarily deciding, hey, let's do this. Let's create early termination. There's a person right now who is a Suffolk Mitzora. He needs a solution. So he needs a solution. So fine, in general, we can argue that we don't like early termination. We don't like to create a situation of beis hapsul, of creating early termination. But over here, the person is in need of a solution. So the person is in need of a solution. So Rabbi Shimon will say, do it over here. So even though we have quoted other Mishnayos, it's a really interesting daf because the point has already been made. We have quoted other Mishnayos that clearly suggest that, according to Rabbi Shimon, you can create early termination, even from a lechatchila standpoint, but the Gemara is just trying to lump on other Mishnayos that seem to indicate that as well. This Mishnah that we just learned together regarding the Suffolk Mitzora, but the Gemara just simply acknowledges that it's not the best proof, as this case over here is a case where a guy needs a solution. So it's not the base case study. As long as we're hearing this Mishnah, as long as we're talking about this case of the Suffolk Mitzora, so the Gemara just wants to tie up a number of loose ends. As far as the carbon is concerned, so we have a great way to handle the carbon. We don't know if he may or may not be a mitzora. Fine. So as far as the carbon is concerned, it may be an ashram or it may be shlamin, and we can treat the carbon like both, and that's fine. Log shemen. What do we expect to do with the log shemen? Now, remember, if he's really a mitzora, so then you apply part of the log shemen to the body of the mitzora, like we described earlier. What happens to the rest of the oil? Consumed by the Kohanim. But what if he isn't? What if he isn't a mitzora? What am I supposed to do then with the log shemen? So Michael Amemer, the Amar log zeh yehe nedava. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'll tell you what. So the log shemen will just simply be designated as a nedava, as a gift. Now, as far as carbonos are concerned, here's what we're comfortable and we're used to hearing. We're used to hearing about animals being a carbon. We heard a lot about birds being a carbon. Flower offerings, there's an entire mesechta dedicated to that topic, be brought as a carbon. Oil as a carbon? That's right. In fact, we're going to learn later in the mesechta, in this mesechta, that oil by itself can be brought as a carbon. Admittedly, it's unusual, but oil can be brought as a carbon. And so over here, what we're going to do is we're going to say that if he's not a mitzvah, we're just simply going to use the oil as a carbon. So v'dimalav mitzarehu by mikametz. So the Gemara says, okay, but even oil being brought as a carbon, you need to do kametza. Now, I'm going to raise a pragmatic issue, which you can easily appreciate, meaning doing kametza by flour is great because flour is a solid. It's particles, but it's a solid. So you could take your fist, you could put it into the flour, and you could take out a fistful of the flour. Oil, of course, is a liquid, and doing kametza by a liquid is a tough proposal. The Kohen's going to put his hands into the oil and take out a fistful of oil. Doesn't work out so well. Okay, so let's just acknowledge that kametza over here, maybe what it means is it pours off the amount of a kametza. Okay, but still the basic point of the Gemara is you have to take off a kametza. The Gemara says vidum. I'm sorry, dimikamet. So the Gemara says okay, so fine. So you take off kametza. Vidum mitzarehu by matan sheva. So the Gemara says okay, but you know what? He may well, in fact, be a mitzora, and if he's a mitzora, so doesn't that by definition mean that you need to apply, you need to sprinkle in the direction of the paroches? So the Gemara says, D'ayif. So to which the Gemara says, Gemara says, fine, so you sprinkled. V'ha-chasole. So the Gemara says, okay, but in other words, once you sprinkle, so then you don't have a full log. In other words, in part of the requirement of the mitzora is that he needs the application of the oil from a full log. And if what you're doing now is that you're sprinkling in the direction, if you're sprinkling it, so then you're not going to have a full log. So the maisi parta malale. So the Gemara says, fine. So the Gemara says that after the kametza is done, so you're going to be replenishing it. Did nan chaser log ashelo yatzak yimalenu. So the Gemara says, look, the halacha is that if you're missing any amount of the log, so as long as it's before the yitzika, so as long as it's before the pouring, so yimalenu. So you just simply you simply do a refill. So the Gemara says, where do we stand right now? So in other words, basically we're just tying up the loose ends regarding our suffix mitzora. The carbon was easy, because the carbon, either it's an ashram or it's a shlamim, and we'll just treat this one animal like both. And even though that's going to result in early termination, but that's fine, because again, our mitzora needs a solution. In terms of the oil right now, so we're in the middle of the Gemara's discussion of what exactly to be done with the oil, because if he's a mitzora, so then I need it for his application in him. And if he's not a mitzora, so then I'm going to be offering it as a carbon, but the Gemara now is just simply navigating, well, how can I do both? And what we'll do is we'll pause over here. We'll finish our navigation of this oil for the Mitzvah tomorrow. And we'll stop over here.